You're listening to episode 194 of Women Worldwide. Are you a giver or are you the go-giver who focuses on value and the people you serve? Stay tuned to learn more. Hi, I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. I've spent an entire career helping women to share stories, nurture relationships, grow their brands, but most of all, to find their voices so they can make a difference. Do you feel stuck? Do you want to power up your own voice? Women Worldwide features the stories of passionate women who have navigated big career challenges and some of the toughest changes. These professionals offer deep insights and advice to inspire you and to help you uncover what's holding you back. Let Women Worldwide ignite your passion so you can excel in life. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Women Worldwide. With every story of the professionals who come on this show, I see how you are all helping to amplify their voices and to really help grow the Women Worldwide Network. And I appreciate that so much. Can't thank you enough for your passion. And you are the reason why Women Worldwide is a platform. It's becoming recognized as a platform for incredible people to share their journeys. And they're educating and hopefully motivating you along the way. One thing that I've noticed with Women Worldwide guests is that in some way, shape, or form, they are givers. And I'm saying this because this is actually our topic today. It's giving. Now, you might think that there are different levels of giving. Maybe you see yourself or others around you as an unconditional giver. Or maybe you see giving as something that is, if I give, then I receive and it's reciprocal. But what's your definition of giving? Well, I've got a guest on the show today who has a lot to say about giving, and he can educate you on what it means to be the go-giver. So that's right. Joining me is Bob Berg. And Bob, first off, before I get to his books, he shares information on topics that are vital to the success of today's business person. He's a speaker, and if you can imagine, he addresses audiences from 50 to thousands. We're talking 15,000 plus people, sharing the platform with notable thought leaders, broadcast personalities, Olympic athletes. He's even shared the platform with a former U.S. president. He was best known for his book, Endless Referrals, but it's more recently that he's become highly recognized for his business parable, The Go-Giver. And we're going to talk about The Go-Giver today. It's sold over 800,000 copies, which is absolutely amazing. So we're just thrilled to have Bob on the show. One other notable is that the American Management Association named Bob one of the 30 most influential leaders. So I guess I could go on and on about Bob Berg, but I think it's time for him to share his story with you. Bob, it is great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you. What a pleasure to be here. What a nice, kind introduction. Wow. Thank you so much.
Just so happy to have read your book and to The Go-Giver, I thought was excellent. And it's also co-authored with John David Mann. So I want to give a shout out there. And I know that you have so much to share about giving and what it really means to be a go-giver. But first, maybe you could just share with Women Worldwide listeners a little bit about why you chose this particular career path to be the author, the speaker, and the CEO and co-founder of Berg Communications.
Well, I began in broadcasting, first in radio and then television. I was the late night news guy. I ended up working my way up to be the late night news anchor for a very, very small ABC affiliate in the Midwestern United States. I was really probably the worst news anchor you can imagine. I can't
believe that.
No, I could read the news, but I was not a journalist, you know, so I really had no idea. I was 24 years old, had no real journalistic nose, had no idea of the news, and really didn't care. I really wanted to be a sportscaster, and I just happened to have gotten a job in news. And I was probably even then a little too positive for the medium itself. I mean, my idea of a good newscast opening would have been to say something like, "Good evening, everyone. I'm Bob Berg in the news tonight. Everything's great. You know, go to bed. We'll let you know if something comes up." Right? And that's, you know, so Tom Brokaw, I was not. And so it wasn't long before I was out of news and what I like to say, graduated into sales. The problem I had was I knew nothing about sales. So for the first few months, I really floundered, and the training where I was working, it was negligible at best. Finally, thankfully, I walked into a bookstore one day and saw a couple of books. One was by Tom Hopkins and one was by Zig Ziglar. This is about 40 years ago now. And they were the two big sales, you know, teachers and trainers and had remarkable wisdom in books. And I got their books and I devoured them and I studied them and I learned them and I began applying the information. And really within a few weeks, my sales began to go through the roof. And the only difference between, you know, Bob Berg then and Bob Berg of 3 weeks earlier, you know, was I had a system I could apply. Right. And to this day, I personally define a system as the process of predictably achieving a goal based on a logical and specific set of how-to principles. In other words, if it's been proven that by doing A, you'll get the desired results of B, then you know that all you need to do is A and continue to do A and continue to do A, and eventually you'll get the desired results of B. And I became enamored with selling. And of course, when you're in sales, as you know, because you know you teach us that personal development becomes a big part of your life. And so I started getting all the books, the How to Win Friends and Influence People, The Magic of Thinking Big, Think and Grow Rich as a Man Thinketh, and all these great books. And, you know, the learning has never stopped. And I've just enjoyed it. And eventually I worked my way up to sales manager of another company and began teaching others what was working for me. And eventually it kind of morphed into a speaking business.
That's amazing. And I have a feeling that what you said about defining your system, if you do A, eventually you're definitely going to get B. Is this what led you? Because I'm specifically thinking of your book, The Go-Giver. And, you know, there are laws in the book that mm-hmm. if you use them, you will be successful. So maybe how did you actually take it to that level and get to that system or to understand those laws to be able to share a book like The Go-Giver? What's the premise?
Well, yeah, and it's a great question. And then there are a few aspects of that. The premise itself is actually quite simple. It's that shifting your focus, and this is really the key, shifting your focus from getting to giving. Now, when we say giving, and you were talking about definitions earlier, and of course, giving has different definitions depending upon the context. But in this case, when we say giving, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing value to others. And that doing so is not only a pleasant way of conducting business, it's the most financially profitable way as well. And that's really the entire premise of the Go-Giver system, the Go-Giver methodology. And it really came about, I had, as you mentioned in your kind introduction, I had a book called Endless Referrals, Network Your Everyday Contacts into Sales. That was kind of my first big book. And it was a how-to book. And it was on how to create relationships with, and this is really for people who they were in sales. They loved what they did. They loved their product or service. They understood the immense value it brought, but they didn't feel comfortable in the process of meeting new people and cultivating these relationships. They needed a system. They needed to know how to do it. So the book is really about developing. The premise of that book was that all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, like, and trust. And so the book, the how-to book, was all about building those relationships. But I'd always enjoyed reading business parables because I think, like, you know, stories connect with people on a heart-to-heart level. Yeah. And so I thought, well, what's the basic characteristic of a person who's able to build these kind of relationships, the know, like, and trust relationships, both quickly and sustainably? And I thought, well, they're always giving. Their focus is on giving value to everyone they meet. And I thought, okay, so we've got the title, The Go giver, right? And so I began to sit down to write it and came up with some very, very basic concepts, but nothing really there. It also took me all of about a minute to realize that there's a big difference in writing a how-to book and writing a parable, which is basically a work of fiction. And I realized that there was no way I could bring the kind of quality to it that I really wanted. And so I reached out to John David Mann, who at that time I'd never met personally, but he was the editor-in-chief of a magazine I wrote for a very niche magazine. And John was great. I mean, his edits were always fantastic, and he was always so humble about it. He'd send back the article, say, is it okay if I, change this to this and do that? And, most editors don't do that. And
sure.
I'd say, does this look okay? And our running joke was that every month I'd write him back saying, not only is it okay, you write my stuff better than I write my stuff. And so I knew John, and at the time, very few people knew of John outside that one niche. Now, if you go into a traditional bookstore, you'll see 10 books that he's either co-authored or ghostwritten that are on the New York Times bestseller list. I mean, this guy's in huge demand. But back then, very few people knew who John was. Well, fortunately, I was one of the few who did. Since I was one of the writers. So I asked John, and when I say I asked John, I mean I pleaded with John to be the lead writer and storyteller for this book that I kind of had an idea about and so forth. And John, who also is a very much an entrepreneur, student of success, as I am, we collaborated on this and came up with the five laws based on what has, worked for us, but also worked for the many, many people who've been extremely successful, who we've had the chance to meet and engage with and get to know. And so, we always say there's nothing about the five laws in this book that are original, not one single bit. We may have put it into story form, and thanks to John's great writing, in a way that really connects, but there's nothing new, nothing original. The first adapters of this book were the people who have been living their lives and conducting their business this way, forever. And the book just put into words what they were already doing. And then they started sharing the book with others. And that's when it really kind of took off.
What a great partnership the two of you have formed.
Yeah.
It's a powerful book. And you brought these stories to life through characters. And, maybe you could just briefly mention the five laws. And then is there one law in particular that stands out to you?
Sure. Well, the five laws themselves are the laws of value, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. The law of value really is simply saying that aside from the intrinsic value of the product or service you sell, which should give that person much more in use value than what you take in payment, which doesn't mean you're not making a profit. Givers make a great profit, okay?
Yes.
Because you're selling on value, not price. So in other words, it's sort of like you hire an accountant to do your taxes, and this accountant charges you, let's say, $1,000. Okay, that's their price. But what's the value that they give you in exchange? Well, they save you, $5,000 in your taxes.
Sure.
They save you countless hours of time. They provide you and your family with the security and peace of mind of knowing it was done correctly. They gave you well over $5,000 in value in exchange for $1,000 payment, but that's also very profitable for them because that to them, it's worth their time to do that. In other words, in a free market-based transaction, okay, when I say free market, I simply mean no one is forced to do business with anyone else, okay? In a free market-based situation or transaction, both parties profit. The buyer and the seller both profit because both came away better off after the transaction than they were before the transaction. So you give more in value than you take in payment, but it doesn't stop there. That's the intrinsic value of what you sell. But your competitors, are doing this, are at least saying that they're doing the same thing, and many of them are. So what brings even more value to the equation, and this is where the law of value really kicks in, is the experience itself that you're providing. Just like Ernesto in the story who sold hot dogs, right? From a hot dog stand when he first started before he had his chain of restaurants.
Right.
Hot dogs are a commodity, but what did he provide to his customers? An immense experience of joy, of happiness, of feeling welcome, right? And so how do we communicate this additional value? Well, we can probably do so in hundreds of ways, but they tend to come down to the five elements of value. And those are excellence, consistency, attention, empathy, and appreciation. And to the degree that we can communicate each of these during every transaction, that's the degree that we separate ourselves from the competition and take price out of the equation. But here's the key about the law of value, that your focus is not on the money. Your right. focus is on the value you're providing. This is why we say that money is simply an echo of value. It's the thunder, if you will, to value's lightning. In other words, the value comes first. That's where your focus is. Your focus is on bringing value to the other person. The money you receive is simply a very natural and direct result of the value you've provided.
And that makes a lot of sense. The book reinforces this. I'm just wondering, Bob, and for Women Worldwide listeners out there, do you think that there's a challenge in understanding this law of value, or is it any of the other laws that pose the most challenge for a business professional today?
Well, the law of receptivity, I think, is difficult for many people because we've been, you know, we've had ingrained in our minds through the world around us, whether it's upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television shows, movies. You know, most people grow up with this, you know, getting the message that, and I won't say it's a mixed message. I'd say it's a negative message regarding abundance, regarding prosperity, regarding money, right?
Right.
And, you know, when you think about it, the media is always looking to attract eyeballs, and they do this with sensationalism,
right?
Not necessarily with truths. And so you very rarely see the following headline: corporate CEO treats people fairly,
right? True. I haven't seen that one.
Salesperson takes great care of their customers, right? Right.
Nope, still looking for that one.
Right, exactly. It doesn't sell. They workshop those. It didn't work, right? And so, but, you know, we hear about Enron. We hear about Tyco. We hear about, you know, the Madoffs. We hear about those things that, you know, make, those are the sensational things. And of course, they happen. It's a big world.
Sure.
But it's not the norm. And especially the more free market an economy is, okay, where hey, you know, and I often say this when I speak at a sales conference, I'll begin by saying, nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet, right? And yeah. We all laugh because we know it's absolutely true. They're not going to buy from us because we have a quota. They're not going to buy from us because we need the money. And they're not even going to buy from us because we're a really nice person who believes in what we do.
No.
They're going to buy from us for one reason. They believe they'll be better off by doing so than by not doing so.
It's that value.
Right, exactly. So as the salesperson, as the entrepreneur, we've got to be focused on bringing them value, making their lives better, happier, more satisfied, more fulfilling, or whatever it is we do through our product or service. So receptivity is such that when you have provided value to the marketplace and you've provided value to a great number of people, which is what Law 2 covers. When you've placed the interests of the customer first, which is what Law 3 covers, the law of influence, when you've shown up authentically as yourself, which is what Law 4 covers, you've earned the right to receive, but you've got to be willing to allow yourself to do so. And if you have feelings inside you that, oh, money's a bad thing, right? Or, you know, only bad people make money, or people make money only on the backs of others, or there's not enough to go around. Well, you're going to do things that are going to kind of sabotage yourself and create a situation where you're not as abundant as you could be and as you deserve to be.
True. If you're thinking that, and that's in your subconscious, you're creating an environment.
Right. And it's always in the subconscious. Yeah.
Right. That's what's going to play out in your environment. I would love to give you the opportunity to talk a little bit about the Go-Giver Influencer, because that is a latest book, and I guess it's within the Go-Giver series. So do you want to just share a little bit about that book and how it differs from your original?
Yeah, well, that's our third parable. We have four books in the series, but that's the third parable. And it takes place in the same fictional town, has some updates on some of the other characters. So it's fun for people who follow the series. But if this is the first book in the series they've read, it certainly stands alone as well. But it's really about two people who have a potentially great business collaboration, okay? But they keep getting in their own way. And their communication is just not, you know, is not what it needs to be for the other person to feel good about them, to know them, to like them, to trust them. And so while it should be a marriage made in heaven, it turns out to be anything but. And the two main characters, Jillian and Jackson, the two of them kind of bang heads, and they fortunately each find mentors who help them learn how to communicate their message better. Really, what this is about is how to get the results you want when dealing with others, including difficult others, and do so in a way that not only does everyone come out ahead, but everyone feels good about themselves, about the situation, and about each other.
That's where communication really is so important.
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
Makes it or breaks it, sure.
Absolutely. So, Bob, I'm just going to ask you to hold your thoughts for a moment. I'd like to take a super quick minute to talk about our sponsor, PrepDish. And, Bob, I don't know, have you ever heard of PrepDish?
I have.
You have? Okay. Well, so I'm just going to share my experience with PrepDish, and I don't know if you've used it or if you've just heard about it out there on social media, but for anybody who doesn't know about PrepDish, it's a subscription-based meal planning service that saves you time, and it really helps to make your dinners much more appealing and delicious. And just personally for me, I was getting very used to the question every night around 5 o'clock, what's for dinner? And I would never be able to answer that question. And I was also hearing, oh no, not that again. And that's not something that you want to hear from your family. So PrepDish to the rescue. You're probably wondering a little bit how it works, and it's easy. Every week you receive a weekly meal plan and a grocery list. You know upfront all of the ingredients that you need to prep for the week. And after you go shopping, you just set aside 2 or 3 hours of what you call your prep time. So you're preparing everything in advance. And if you're prepping on a Sunday, like I do, you're set up for the entire week of meals. And I actually have 2 more recipes to add to my list of faves. They're the kale salad with pomegranate and avocado and mushroom and kale frittata cups. So you can tell that I'm really into kale these days, but you might want to check out those recipes. Bob, I don't know if you're into kale, but you know what? You'll discover that there are a lot of recipes. If you think about it, when you use PrepDish, your meals just became really easy. Mine did. You're saving time. And time seems to be a precious commodity these days. So with my crazy schedule, I let PrepDish do the planning for me. But here's the best part. Women worldwide listeners, PrepDish has a fantastic offer for you. You can go to PrepDish.com/worldwide and get 2 weeks of PrepDish for free. So try it. I know you'll love it. PrepDish.com/worldwide. I'm really excited for listeners to try PrepDish because it's so easy.
And you know, it's funny with PrepDish, that's a perfect example of providing so much more in value than taking in payment. I don't mean because of the 2 week thing. I mean, whatever they're charging. Think about the benefits that you receive
exactly.
When you're allowing someone else to put the energy, the time, the thought, having everything done for you. What does that allow you to do so that you don't have to worry about anything else but enjoying it?
It's wonderful. I mean, I know there are so many professionals out there who need that extra time. And if you can save the time up front by prepping, mm-hmm. And that's the value. So thank you for saying that, Bob. Okay, Bob, now we can dive back into segment 2. We were just chatting about what it means to be a go-giver. You talked about those 5 laws and we really dove into value. And you were just talking about the go-giver influencer. And you had mentioned, so there's characters. It's a parable, these books. You mentioned the characters. And I just kind of wanted to know, do any of these characters represent you or the people you've worked with? Are they completely fictional? Maybe you could share a little bit about that.
Yeah, sort of a combination. We modeled Pindar in the first story, who was the main mentor. We based him loosely on a gentleman by the name of Bob Proctor, who's a very well-known prosperity authority. And, you know, he has a, we kind of pictured him looking like Pindar, having the voice, having the kind of gentle way about him and, you know, the whole thing. So a couple of the characters were compendiums of people we knew. Okay. So the realtor, Deborah Davenport, she represented a couple different people we knew, women who were very high powered, successful people. Joe was sort of everyone, the average Joe
or Josephine. The average Joe.
Okay. Yep. We've all been Joe and we all are Joe in different areas of our lives.
I could relate to Joe. You could really relate to him.
Gus was kind of me a little bit, you know, in that he sort of was the relationship builder and the connector, you know, that sort of thing. So, that was sort of how. So, but here's the thing. It was, while the characters had some truths to them in terms of who they were based on, we included different stories of things that happened in John's life and in my life. We included them in the story. So there were, while it was a work of fiction, absolutely, totally, there were still a lot of incidents in there that we drew from our own experiences.
That's really great that you could, I mean, there's a real piece of both of you in the book, or in your books. And I love, there's one thing I want to mention about Pindar, how the one thing that he asked, which was so important, that would break the deal with Joe and the learnings, was that Joe always had to apply
exactly
what that law, and you know it had to be applied quickly. I guess it was before the end of the night or the day was over.
Yep,
and the end of the night. Yeah. I think that's a lesson for all of us. Very, very interesting. Okay, so I want to pivot to talk a little bit about you and how you're feeling about giving and what you're doing. So, what would you say is your biggest accomplishment to date?
Oh, I would say it's probably the sales of the Go Giver. That, you know, that kind of is a book that has been babied and encouraged and nurtured, and you know, it's been 10 years since it came out. I've never stopped doing interviews on it and speaking on it and so forth. So that's been a labor of love, and that's, you know, turned into a kind of a neat thing.
Well, I always say that every book is like having a baby. So your baby is growing up quickly, right?
Yeah, and it's got its brothers and sisters.
Right? I know you. That's funny. You're building a whole family. Boy, you got a lot of nurturing and families. You know, there's work. There's work that goes into each and every family, and everything is it's important that you do that. So, how about you know, biggest accomplishment? There's always the flip side of that, Bob. Maybe you could share with Women Worldwide listeners, what's the toughest obstacle that you've had to overcome? And what's your process when you come against something that's difficult?
Well, a business obstacle or a life obstacle?
Whatever you want to share.
Well, my biggest obstacle in life has been that I've, you know, been an OCD sufferer, obsessive compulsive disorder, for my entire life. Being 60 years old, it wasn't something that was really known about. So I grew up with that without knowing what it was. And it wasn't until I was 26 years old that it was diagnosed. And so that's been a very tough row to hoe. And it's, you know, something I've had to live with. And while I'm on medication and it's been controlled over the last 35, 40 years,
right,
it's still, it's still been a bear to live with.
Absolutely.
So, but that's been my biggest obstacle. Fortunately, there are, you know, for those who are listening who believe either they or someone they love might have OCD. And fortunately, these days, they can get it pretty early and they can really help young kids. This is totally different from when I was, you know, in that position. The IOCD Foundation, IOCDF.org, International Obsessive Compulsive Disorder Foundation.org, has lots of wonderful, wonderful information on that and many resources. So that's been my toughest thing. And it's something I've never gotten. No, it's something I've always had to live with. So, you know, but as far as business goes, probably my toughest obstacle was getting up to date with technology, because I'm not a technology type of person. And so back in the late 90s or mid to late 90s, and I had built up a very successful speaking business at the time. And I got kind of lazy in a sense, because I could see things changing with the internet and just didn't want to acknowledge it. And I kind of buried my head in the sand, which I knew better than to do, but my business really crumbled. I didn't keep up with my clients. And I really was back to square one and had to rebuild my business. And it said to me, you know, you don't have to like change, but right. You have to acknowledge it. And you know, so often, and I say this often with the personal development industry, if you will, which, you know, you and I are both a part of,
sure.
That there's sometimes a political correctness that, you know, everything's supposed to be good. You know, hey, change, welcome change and enjoy change. I hate change.
We have to be honest about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you don't have to like it. But what you have to do is acknowledge it, and you have to deal with it. And you have to realize that whether or not you like it, it's something that is a thing. And that if you want the results you want, you need to adapt and go with it. And so it was a very painful lesson to learn and relearn.
Absolutely. And the thing with technology is that it just keeps changing.
It does. Unfortunately, I have a brilliant business partner, Kathy Tajanel, who happens to be an expert with technology. And so she really, because of her, I'm able to do all these things online. And a big part of our business now is online, and it's growing online. And I wouldn't be able to do that without her. But I was able to create, you know, the environment where we're, you know, to be able to do that by having someone who's a lot smarter than I am be able to, you know, to help me in the areas that I'm not strong in.
But that also says something about you as a professional, as a leader in your space. We can't always do it all. We have right. to recognize where others have expertise and bring them in and work with mm-hmm. them to enhance what we do to provide, here's the word, more value.
Right on. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for sharing both the personal and the business obstacle. And I know that there are a lot of women worldwide listeners out there who face obstacles as well. And I want to go back to, because I just mentioned the value and this mindset that you talked about in the first segment. Do you ever find people asking you or inquiring about, well, what happens if I'm trying to give, but I feel like someone is taking advantage? Is that ever something that comes up, or as you're shifting your mindset, because the value is so strong and apparent, that match with whoever you're working with, it just doesn't happen anymore?
Well, I think it's a very natural question, because the fact is not everybody is going to be the type of person you want to work with or you know, and yet there's until we're at a point where we're independently wealthy and can just walk away right. from people who we don't want to do business with, we get to do business with people, you know, not if they're unethical or dishonest, but just if they approach things in a different way. But the question sort of, you know, it kind of goes back to, so what if I am giving value to others, but they're takers, right?
Right.
Well, first of all, I would say, please understand something. And this is one of the most important things for people to understand when it comes to the go-giver way or go-giver methodology. And that is, there is nothing about being a go-giver that is congruent with being a doormat
right.
or a martyr or self-sacrificial in any way, shape, or form. Absolutely not at all. Focusing on bringing immense value to others does not mean you should allow yourself to be taken advantage of. So, you know, I want people to totally understand that. It's not, you know, it's not sacrificial giving, you know. So, no, we want to have relationships with people who understand that it's in their best interest to do business this way. And remember, most people, again, are doing business with you because they believe that they're benefiting from doing so. And so who are they more likely to do business with? Someone whose focus is on themselves or someone whose focus is on them?
And right.
It's going to be someone whose focus is on them. And so when you come across that, but again, if you see someone trying to take advantage of you, well, that's not something that you allow.
Right. And you have to be able to recognize that.
Sure.
And to have the confidence to Absolutely. Realize what kind of relationships you want to be in or not be in. And that's probably an important part of the process as well.
Yeah. And paradoxically, you know, I apologize, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, please go ahead.
Paradoxically, the more that you are focused on bringing value to others and being a go-giver, if you will, the more you're going to attract the right people. And I know sometimes that doesn't seem intuitive. It seems like you'll, you know, attract the people who are looking for a sucker or something. No, I mean, again, it's a big world, so sure. You've got to be wary, okay? But no, that's usually not the case. When you are looking to bring value to others, you establish that reputation and you become known for that. You plant the seeds that you create what we call a benevolent context for success. And you start attracting other people to you who operate with that same philosophy. And again, the times you don't, you need to be aware of that and not do anything that's going to put you in any danger or any disadvantage, certainly. And we can kindly and tactfully and respectfully communicate that point when we need to. But no, typically to the degree that you operate in this way, that's exactly who you're going to attract.
Right. Okay. So we have to remember that benevolent context for success. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, so here's another question for you, because I could probably see this playing out within different organizations. What happens if you fully embrace all of the five laws and you are the go-giver? However, the people in your organization, you know, everyone around you is not. And maybe they just don't even agree with the whole system. Mm-hmm. So what do you do then if there's this kind of negative force against you?
Yeah, in this environment you're talking about, are you the leader or one of the employees?
Okay, so if you were one of the employees, how would you handle that?
Okay, so here's the thing. You can lead from anywhere, okay? You can lead by example. However, a culture comes from the top.
Right.
Okay, and it works its way downward. Okay, it trickle down. So if the leader does not embrace this philosophy, the chances are the team, the group as a whole will not. The culture will not be one. So you've got to decide, can you work within this culture and thrive and be able to do the things that you need to be able to do? Or do you need to look for another environment that's more in line with that? And again, I'm not, please don't misinterpret this. I'm not saying quit your job because they're not go-givers. No, that's not what I'm saying. You need to methodically look at the options and see what you're doing. And to the degree that you, through your own leadership, wherever you are, that you can affect others with this, that do that. That's great. But by and large, culture begins at the top.
So if you are the CEO or you are among senior leadership, you have an opportunity to model the behavior that you want everybody in the organization to take. And that will trickle down as you show, not just speak, but actually show that you are a go-giver. So better chances, right, from the top to get that mindset to penetrate the rest of the organization. Would you say that's accurate?
Mm-hmm. Probably the best book I ever read on that was by a gentleman by the name of Captain David Marquet, who wrote a book, Turn the Ship Around. And David was assigned the lowest ranking nuclear submarine in the Navy. This was, I think, back in either the mid-90s or late 90s. And they had a horrible, terrible culture. It was command and control, as much as the military is, but it was very negative. And he was able to turn it around. And what he did is he really, what we call, he gave leadership. He empowered, he encouraged, he coached, he modeled all these things. But it doesn't mean that it happened right away. But what happened was, after a little while, he said the magic number for him was about 10%. Once about 10% of the people really got on board with his ideas, all of a sudden it started really spreading.
Oh, that's a magic number. Right, 10%.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I guess so, at least in that case.
That's a great benchmark.
His book, Turn the Ship Around, Captain David Marquet, spelled like Marquette, but Marquet. Wonderful, wonderful book on leadership.
Excellent. So you just mentioned this book by Captain David Marquet. Maybe you could share some of your other go-to resources. What's keeping you happy, healthy, and in the go-giver spirit?
Well, you know, I love books. I love reading.
I do too.
I get to learn, you know, so much. Tell you one of the best books that, and it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with go-giver or not go-giver, but it's a great book for life. It was written by a woman by the name of Annie Duke. Now, Annie, for those who are poker aficionados, and I'm not, I don't think I've ever played poker in my life, but I had heard about her book from another friend of mine, Carol Roth, who tweeted about this book. Carol is also a very prolific author on entrepreneurship and such. But so Annie Duke was one of the, was a world champion poker player, you know, those Las Vegas, they have that on TV, and she won many, many times. And so she wrote a book called Thinking in Bets. And the premise of the book was that first, that if you think in terms of the odds, you're creating a better situation for the right decisions. And the right decisions tend to have the right results, although it's not guaranteed. But, you know, as she said, you can have all the possible information in front of you and make the best decision. That doesn't mean you'll get the best results, because life is life.
Right.
But to the degree that you make those correct decisions, that's the degree that the results will turn out as you'd like. And she goes through an entire process of moving from thinking emotionally, not that emotions don't come into play in our thought, of course they do, but our thinking, our decisions need to be logic-based if we want to make the best decisions. And so she goes through an entire book of doing that, sharing a bunch of stories that she learned from poker. Now, again,
oh, that's interesting.
I'm not a poker player, but it did matter. They were fascinating, right. Fascinating stories.
Because when you're playing poker, the odds against you, will the dealer have a better hand than you? So probably
there's also right. There's all sorts of decision making that comes in until you finally know what the odds are for your success, and so you do this by through logic. Okay. And it was absolutely a magnificent book. And so that's one that I highly recommend to people, Thinking in Bets by Annie Duke.
I want to check that out. That's really interesting. So Bob, maybe you can give some parting advice. What advice do you want to offer to Women Worldwide listeners about why they should be go-givers and how that's really going to impact everything that they do?
Well, I think if there's any advice I could share, it's advice that was given to me. And this was probably 35 years ago now, maybe a little more than that. And I had been in sales for a couple of years. And again, I had studied it and I learned it and I could sell and I was enjoying it, but I certainly wasn't anywhere near my potential. I was kind of like Joe in the go-giver. And there was and I remember coming back to the office one day after not making a sale, and I was disgusted at myself and disgusted at the customer and disgusted at everything, I guess. And there was a wise older man at the office. And when I say older, I mean, he was probably my age now, right? Just a really old guy, right?
I know, right? And, like 60 is not old.
Yeah, right.
It's not.
But he was one of these, and he wasn't even in the sales department. He was in another department of the company, but he was one of these guys, just a wise person. You know what I mean? Just right. One of those, when he didn't speak often, but when he did, you knew it was going to be profound. And he said, Berg, can I give you some advice? And I said, yes, please. And he said, if you want to make a lot of money in business, actually said, if you want to make a lot of money in sales, he said, don't have making money as your target. Your target is serving others. Now, when you hit the target, he said, you'll get a reward. And that reward will come in the form of money. And you can do with that money whatever you choose. But never forget, he said, the money is simply the reward for hitting the target. It ain't the target itself. Your target is serving others. And from that moment on, my career in sales changed, because I realized that the sale was not about me, and it wasn't even about my product or service. Okay. It was about the other person. It was about the value it would bring them. It was about how their life would change as a result of utilizing my products or services. And I think that if we keep that in mind, I think we're always headed in the right direction.
I do too. Can you imagine if everybody was thinking about serving others? What a better world, seriously.
Better and more productive.
And more productive. And everyone is receiving the value that exactly. they look forward to and that they need. Mm-hmm. That was excellent advice that was shared 35 years ago. Thank you so much for sharing it. And maybe you can just let people know, last question, super easy, where they can find out more about you, your work, and your Go-Giver books.
Yeah, if they go to the Go-Giver without the hyphen, thegogiver.com, they can scroll down, they'll see the podcast, they'll see they can get a couple chapters of whichever one of the books they'd like, so they can read some of it first to see if they like it. They can see our Go-Giver live show and some of the other resources we have, such as the Go-Giver Entrepreneurs Academy, and they can check out whatever they'd like.
That sounds great. And I hope they do check it out. I was hooked after a paragraph or two. Excellent, excellent book, The Go-Giver. I do have to read the others in the series. Bob, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come on my show. And speaking for myself and women worldwide listeners out there, we really appreciate your insights, your advice, and everything that you've shared about being a Go-Giver and value and serving others. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you. And I so appreciate all the work you're doing and the value that you're bringing to so many people. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. I appreciate that you said that. And I also want to thank PrepDish, who is the sponsor of this episode of Women Worldwide. And don't forget, you can go and get your 2 weeks free, the free trial, by going to www.prepdish.com/worldwide. And to all of you listeners out there who are tuning in every week, you're helping to power up those voices, the purpose, the passion. Thank you for fueling Women Worldwide, our network, with energy. And you know what? If you have a moment, please rate us on iTunes. Give us a shout out on social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook. We would love to hear from you. Okay, WW friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.